Hi, listeners. Welcome to a new episode of Worlds Collide with me, your host, Victoria. And of course, this is a podcast where I talk to people who moved abroad. And in this episode, my guest is Ron, and he is originally from Canada, but now he lives in China. So this is also the first episode that we're having here where actually I have a guest in China. So this is nice. So in this episode, of course, is about learning the life he has in China as an expat, but also it's about changing perspectives, and you will learn what I mean in the beginning of our conversation. And if you also want to see us in conversation, you can do that on YouTube, where you can check out the video of our conversation. It's the same name, same title, Worlds Collide, where you can find it. But here is our conversation now. Here is Ron.
Now we're live. Right. Okay.
We are live.
Yeah. So my... we're not live, but you know what I meant. So my guest today is Ron. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. And so where are you right now?
I'm actually in China.
I see they have Starbucks in China.
You know what? They actually have a lot of Starbucks in China and KFC. A lot of people don't know that, but KFC was one of the first fast food places to go into China after the whole communism thing ended, or I should say change policies. And there's KFCs everywhere in China. It's crazy. Like the smallest towns in China will have a KFC.
Okay. And where in China are you?
I'm in the south in a city called Shenzhen at the moment. It's like Hong Kong area.
Ah, okay. You're around that area. And what brought you there?
It's funny because I actually came to China about, I don't know, 7 years ago, 2017. It's been a while.
Oh, okay.
And I was never interested in China. Like, I was never interested in Asia, I should say. Hmm. I grew up in Canada. And I had like zero interest in Asia. I was like, I don't care about Asia. You know, like
right.
In North America, like we're better than everyone else. That was what I thought when I was younger. Like, we don't even need Europe. at some point I had a job that was, I was working like a very corporate job. I have like an engineering background, and I decided to quit my job and go travel. And I spent about 6 months traveling through Latin America, like hitchhiking, like very cool traveling. And then I got to Buenos Aires, and then I was like, oh shit, like everyone kept talking about Bangkok and all these places. And I've always believed in challenging my own opinions. And I wanted to hate Asia. I wanted to be like, okay. I hate that place. You know, but I figured it was kind of like naive of me to hate a place without visiting.
Right.
So that makes sense. What? I am going to, I'm going to go to Asia, and I'm going to show the world that it sucks.
Okay. Yeah.
And then.
History and everything. That sucks.
As just people do. And then I was going to fly to Tokyo, to Japan.
Yeah. The worst city ever. Right.
Yeah. Cause I was working with some Japanese people before, like I had some friends there and everything. But I flew to Hong Kong on a layover and I was there for like 4 days, and I met some people in Hong Kong, and they were like, oh, you should go to China. And I was like, I don't know anything about China. You know, I don't want to go there. Like very close-minded towards Asia, to be honest. And then they convinced me, they're like, no, just get your visa. It's really easy. And then I was like, fine. Like I remember crossing the border from Hong Kong into Shenzhen. It's like, if you've never been, it's sort of like a very, like you can literally take the subway from Hong Kong.
Okay.
You transfer and you stamp your passport, and then you get on another subway and you're like connected to China. And Shenzhen is very much like a very international city. Like it's like a mega city, like skyscrapers everywhere, dozens, like 20, 30 subway lines. It's just like a very big city.
It's just like a super big,
Super big. It's super modern too, like public bikes, anything you can imagine is in China. And I really liked it. I traveled around China on that trip for about 4 months. I've been from Shenzhen to like Urumqi, like northwestern China, which sometimes is controversial to say, but I have been there. I've been to the border with North Korea. I've been to North Korea too. I've been to the borders with Vietnam. Like I've covered the entire,
Okay, that was just traveling.
Yeah, that was traveling 8 years ago. And then, I was like, I have to live in China.
Okay, so you did not hate it anymore.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, like I like Asia.
Oh yeah. It's like, okay, changed my mind. If you only knew.
Yeah, so that's how I came to China.
Okay, and then how did you then decide to actually stay there? Or like how did you make the move that you could stay there for a long time?
I was making pretty good money in North America. I was younger, but I'm assuming your husband worked in tech.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was working in tech. I mean, I had no shortage of cash for like a working person, but I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I hated going to the office. I hated people telling me what to do. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather be selling anything online than having a job.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather be poor and not have a boss. I made that. I was like, fuck it. I'll be homeless. Like, I don't care. I had savings and I was very responsible.
Right.
In my head, I was like, I don't want to. And luckily at the time, China had very like flexible visas, let's say. Like, it wasn't so complicated as, you know, now with COVID, everyone wants a visa for it. It's like, such a headache. But yeah, I started selling out websites. Like, I used to sell websites from China.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was cold calling people in, like, 2016 being like, hey, how would you like to buy a website for me? And back then, not many people were doing it. So there was, like, actually pretty good money to be made selling websites.
Okay. So you just went on, like, I don't know, like, an online platform and saw, like, hey, this website is available now and that company could use that name kind of thing?
No. Like I would call them up and say, hey, your company website sucks. Like, give me some money and I'll fix it for you. I mean,
more friendly, right? Not that worthy.
Of course, I'm kind of like
more professional.
Hey, your life's work is terrible. That's how I started.
Okay, and where did you move then? To which city?
I moved to a city called Xi'an. It's like in the middle of China.
Okay.
But I've lived in a few cities in China already.
Okay.
Yeah. I did leave during COVID, and I was spending time outside of China when I was living in China first. Like, doing a bit of like a, not digital nomad, but like I would spend 3 or 4 months in other places.
Right.
And then come back to China and stuff like that. So I was living like a semi, not, I hate the word nomad, but you know what I mean? Like,
did you like ever like set foot at one place for longer though? Or did you always bounce around?
I think China since I left Canada has sort of been like my home base, if you will. Like, this is the place where I spent 8 months out of the year for sure.
Always in the same, do you always have the same apartment?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
China. China, not like one place. Okay.
Yeah, not one place for sure.
So you have not settled in one place in China. It's just...
I don't think, you know, it's... Have you been to Asia by any chance?
Does a stopover count? No, I guess not. No, not really.
Because I think your podcast is mostly about like expats and foreigners, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I should explain this. Like, Asia is not very, like, for example, when you and your husband moved to America, like, if you wanted to stay in America, there's like a path to stay there. Like, you could become a citizen.
Right. Sure.
Asia doesn't really have that.
It doesn't.
Yeah. And that's something a lot of like expats in Asia will criticize Asia for. They'll say like, I don't want to move to Asia because, you know, I'll never be a citizen.
So you always have the possibility of being kicked out of the country.
Yeah, it's and not just China though. Like,
oh, that's just China. Okay.
No. Sorry, like not just China. Most of Asia, you're usually here on like some kind of visa, and it's just like you just kind of make it work.
You kind of make it work. You just extend it and extend it.
Yeah, extend it. Get a new visa. I think at this point, I've been on every visa that China has to offer.
Okay. Minus,
they have like one crazy one for like people like Elon Musk. I've not been on that one.
Right. Okay.
I've jumped around. But I think because of that whole like, and again, it happens in Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, China, Korea, like all these countries are very not so open for like permanent immigration.
I see. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, it's like a thing. It's not like Europe where like I can move to Germany.
Yes, and then after some years you can get like a permanent residency.
Yeah, no, that's like not at all how Asia works.
I thought like more countries, if it comes to that point, they're like, I mean, different, but not that different, you know?
No, that's in my opinion, that's a very like Western, like America, South and North America is like very open to immigration. The rest of the world is very closed off still.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think because of that lack of like they will kick me out of Malaysia, Singapore, China, Japan, Korea eventually.
Mm-hmm.
There's never this need to like really do anything permanent, let's say.
Do you have the urge though sometimes of making plans for your longer future?
I have plans for my, I have like backup plans for my longer future.
Okay.
Like, I think having an apartment or apartments is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
I do own real estate, but in places where I can live legally.
Mm-hmm.
Or places that are open, like Europe, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to make, it's weird because it's kind of a different mindset where maybe people who move to America or Germany, you guys can make plans for the country. You know what I mean? You can say like, well, we're going to live in this city, we buy a house, but living in Asia and not just China, living in Asia, it's like some people make plans long-term in Asia. I should mention that.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a whole debate between the expats who live in Asia. It's like, I think they're foolish. They think I'm foolish. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
It's quite funny. But I personally am on the camp of, you shouldn't make plans to live here forever.
Okay.
You should make plans outside. And the day that, you know, we have to leave, like, you have
eventually
like a place to go, money there, everything there kind of thing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So in that sense, I have made long-term plans, but not in the traditional sense of, like, I'm going to live in this city for forever. I bought an apartment here. Because it's not, I wouldn't buy an apartment in Asia, for example.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But what about, like, your community, like, the people you hang out with?
They're mostly like me, to be honest. It's like,
uh-huh.
Asia attracts a certain type of people, I feel.
And what do you mean? They are like you, just digital nomads or people who live in a few places, like, and move all over the country?
Yeah, I would say most of my friends live in a couple places.
Okay.
Or they're in Asia, like Taiwan, Korea, Japan. It's all quite close. It's like, but they all sort of understand the game, you know. They understand that because we don't look Asian, then it's just the way it is.
I did not even think of that, but of course you stick out. Yes.
And I'm not like, I do want to point out, since this will be on the internet, like, I'm not hating on it. I think,
oh no, I did not think of that. I mean, no, that was not my intention either.
No, I mean the people watching, because sometimes people can be too sad. It's. I think Asia belongs to Asians, and they should rule. Like, they should do whatever they want with countries. You know, like, I'm a guest in Asia, and I'm quite happy to be here. I think more people should come to Asia. So yeah, it's not a criticism. It's just like an observation of reality.
Yeah. But you make friends, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's always just people that they're there for a short time, or do you, like, have, like, good friends now that you know for many years?
Yeah, I have some long-term friends that I've known for, like, 5-7 years since I've been here. For sure, 100%. Like, there's, I guess what I meant is none of my friends think we're going to live here till 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're all kind of, like, we like Asia.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, this is where we want to live. and we are living here, and we're very happy. But yeah, I know I have long. There's like I'm not alone in this love of being in Asia.
Okay. And what about your Chinese? Do you
like language? I speak enough Chinese to do basically anything. Like I can go to the bank by myself.
Do you speak Cantonese or Mandarin?
Mandarin. Yeah.
Mandarin. Okay.
My Chinese isn't great though. Like I hate saying that I speak Chinese because I feel like I can do anything I want in my daily life, but I've never really bothered to like upgrade it to a point where like I can have like conversation, like full conversations like this. Mm-hmm. I could never have this conversation in Chinese. Like it would be impossible.
Okay.
There are reasons for that. Some people agree, disagree with me. I do want to point out that I do speak Spanish and French like very fluently and natively. Mm-hmm. So this is not the case of some American guy who thinks English is, I mean, I do think English is great, but you know what I mean? Like I do speak other languages. I just, there are reasons why I choose not to improve my Chinese.
And, but you work in English, your day to day life is in English.
Yeah. I mean, there's an influencer in China who made this video a while back, small influencer, but I loved it. He said something, I'm totally misquoting him, but he said like, if you're like a foreigner in Asia, like your job is to sell stuff to other foreigners.
Okay.
Or like, he said something else, but it was quite funny. And so, yeah, a lot of foreigners who are in Asia, I think Japan, Korea are different. Those guys tend to integrate more.
Okay.
But I feel like a lot of the foreigners in China are just doing business with the outside world. So a lot of your day-to-day just happens in English anyways, at least for me. And then there's a whole, like, Asia can be a little bit complicated, let's say. There's certain ways to do things, you know, like, it's all very complicated.
What you said earlier, I don't know if we recorded already, that you are originally from Canada.
Yeah.
And do you go back often? Is your, like, family still there?
My family's actually in the process of moving out of Canada.
Oh.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I haven't really gone back. I've gone to the U.S. a couple times.
Okay.
It's just Canada. It's kind of far. It's kind of expensive. And, like, I don't know. Like, for example, it's cheaper for me to fly my mom to Bangkok or meet in Spain than it is for me to Canada.
Is it? Okay. Interesting.
Because, like, everything costs, like, $40 in Canada. You know, like, you take the bus from the airport to the...
Right.
And it's like $20, $30. I'm like, I'd rather just take my mom on vacation to like Bangkok. And it'll be like, it'll be like the same price. And like, it'll be so much more better.
Yeah. It will be also like, it's like nice for your mom, right?
Yeah,
to like have a new place.
Yeah. And it's the same price for me. Like it's a win-win.
Right. I saw on your YouTube channel that you are also trying to move to Argentina a while ago. Oh, you were there for a while?
Yeah. So during COVID, me and my wife, we decided to leave China for what I think are obvious reasons.
Yeah, because like you were not welcome there or not felt welcome there. Yes. But also, how long have you been there at that time?
In China?
China,
That time I've been like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. We went to, actually my wife and I decided to take, just before COVID, I had like a little bit of success in business, let's say. And because of COVID, we were like, what do we do? And then we had this idea that's like, let's just go visit a bunch of places and find a place that we'd like to sort of like do. Actually, it's funny because like we were going to do the thing that you just asked me about.
Okay.
Which is, we wanted to find a place to live long term, like, you know, buy a house, buy an apartment, settle there.
Sure.
And
okay.
And we traveled quite a bit. We went to Colombia, Argentina, Kazakhstan, Russia. We considered a few places, Canada, although that was like 10 minutes of me saying no.
10 minutes. Okay.
And then, we did that. Argentina was one of those places. I've been to Argentina many times. I loved it. But at the end, we came to the conclusion that we should just enjoy our life. And as long as we have a backup plan for the day Asia decides that they need me out, then it's okay. You know, I'll enjoy the ride while it lasts.
Oh, okay. And is your wife also from somewhere else, not China, I guess?
Yeah, no, she's not Chinese. It's complicated because your audience is mostly like English, like American, right, kind of thing?
I mean, they are everywhere, but okay. I guess, I mean, since the podcast is in English, it's...
Cool. Because I'm sometimes like things in like Russia and China or Japan, you know, like some things can be considered racist in the West, but they're like super important here. But she was born in Russia, but she's ethnically Korean.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Yeah. It's like always a thing in Asia. Like if you have any listeners in Asia, that's different. They'll be like, but what does she look like?
got it.
It's quite common here.
Like, so like for her, everybody also thinks like, oh yeah, she is maybe even from China because she already looks Asian. Yeah.
She's my wild card into staying into Asia.
Uh-huh. And then she comes along and has like a Russian accent.
That's true, yeah.
That's super wild. I mean, I can see that it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of Chinese people, and even when we travel around Asia, a lot of them are shocked.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's funny because in America, a lot of people, they have this thing where like when like Americans or other non-Asian people, they confuse. They're like, oh, are you Vietnamese and Korean and stuff like that? And it's like this whole thing about not being able to tell Asians apart. And it's like, actually in Asia, like most Asians cannot tell each other apart. That's like a thing.
But I mean, that's the same for Europe. I mean, I don't know. Exactly. Like a French person looks not much different than like a German person. Like if you only see like the head, like maybe the style of dressing. And then Northern Europe's are really like, I mean, tall, exactly. And a lot of times very blonde, and like South Europeans are like small and a lot of times have like darker hair.
I think you're right. I think like a lot of Asian Americans don't want to admit this, but a lot of it is like how you dress. Like if you see a Korean, they just dress very Korean. Like the outfit is Korean.
Uh-huh.
And same thing with Chinese. They dress very Chinese, and Japanese dress very Japanese.
I mean, I can see that for the Japanese because they are so, I mean, whatever, Tokyo lifestyle is like so famous in like pop culture. Exactly. But I don't know about like Chinese dressing different than Korean.
Yeah, you'd have to live here to like
begin
to, like,
probably.
Like all these little things.
Right, probably. Or if I just like looked on Instagram all the time for like some Asian Instagrammers or bloggers,
some K-pop stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not my genre. is there anything that you miss from Canada?
I'm gonna say like I also lived in America for a bit, like less than a year.
Okay.
And I find that America and Canada are pretty much the same country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say it's so similar. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have not even been to Canada, but when I talk to people who are from Canada or live in Canada, I'm like, it just sounds like here.
No, it's true. Like, when I'm abroad and I meet an American, like, it's great. Like, I love it. It's like, it might as well be my old neighbor. You know, there's a lot of Canadians won't be happy to hear that, but the differences between Canada and the U.S. are very much like the differences between different states in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we have different policies, different laws, but it's just the same country.
It's the same language, most part.
We have Quebec, but you know, whatever.
I love Quebec. you don't talk so fond about about Canada. Usually, like people love it, you know.
No, I love Canada, actually. A lot of my members are there. But no, I think one thing that I do miss about America / Canada is my ability to speak my mind at all times. And I spent a lot of time in Latin America too. And it's kind of the same as Asia. And I'm not criticizing it in a way that's like, oh, they should change something. Like, that's their country. Like, South and Latin America and Asia belong to the people who live there. And they should decide how society functions. Mm-hmm. But I do like how in North America, we're very open to criticizing each other. And we're very open to saying uncomfortable things. And I know...
For saying, but not for listening. Or not for hearing it.
But sometimes saying it is half the battle, you know? Like, and I know, like, if you've never lived long-term in, like, Latin America or Asia, it might seem like North America has issues with freedom of speech. But I do miss the ability to, like, talk to people and be like, I think you're wrong because of this.
Mm, okay.
And that's not the case in most of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, China is kind of famous for that, but I mean, I don't know how far it is, like, in the day-to-day life. I mean, you're probably not, like, super direct to your neighbor.
My neighbors, they're actually so friendly. They always giving us food.
And oh, yeah.
Me and my wife, we don't really cook. Like, we order a lot of stuff.
Perfect.
And we feel so bad because we want to cook for them. But neither of us really want to cook, even for ourselves.
Oh, okay.
And they keep bringing us, like, stuff. And we're like, oh, man, we should do something. But sometimes we give them stuff, actually. Like, every time I get, like, some Western snack, I give them stuff. So
maybe bring them some KFC.
I can imagine. But no, you know, it's interesting, like, that you mentioned that. And I know, like, I read the news about China, let's say, right?
Uh-huh.
But I would say, like, a lot of the things that, in terms of, like, freedom of speech and how society works, a lot of it is more, like, in my opinion, it's very much like Asia, more so than China by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that sometimes we just report on China because it's easier to report on China. But I've worked and done business with Japanese people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love Japanese people. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love anime. I love sushi, teriyaki, ramen, like, huge fan of Japan. But, you know, even in Japan, when you're doing business, when you're talking to your superiors, it's all very, like, censored, you know, like, you have to walk the line. There's no criticism in Japan. Like, you can't criticize, like, let's say if you're an employee, like, you can't criticize your boss. That's like insanity.
Okay.
You can't say, hey, boss, I think we're doing something not the correct way. That's like,
you're just gonna roll with it.
He's got to roll with it. We got to roll with the punches a lot of times. So it's more of a continent thing, more so than like a China thing. Which is an unpopular opinion, but I really believe that. I could be wrong, but I believe it.
Okay. And is there anything else that you miss?
I've been gone for a while, so just that.
Right. So I know it's like after a while you kind of adjust, right? It's like in the beginning there are more things, but then you find other things that work.
Yeah, but honestly, like, most of the people, because, like, mm-hmm. it's nice to be around the people that 100% you understand on, like, a fundamental level.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it happens to you with Germans, like, after a while, you're like, oh, I want to be with Germans.
No. No, that's not what I meant.
I feel like Germans never miss Germans.
Oh, no. No, I mean, like, I miss, if you're away for a long time, like, sharing certain things, you know, like, certain backgrounds, like, whatever, if it's like a song, you know, like a super popular song that is only famous there, if it's like a kids music thing or like a TV show you grew up with, you know, something like this. But,
No, I think for me, I just thought about it a little bit more. And it's more like the rules of the society. I never have to compromise with Americans or Canadians. Because we understand what we mean when we say things. I'm sure as a German, you might have noticed in America, we're a little bit indirect, maybe.
Yes. Talking around the bush.
Yeah. So, like, for example, when you're abroad in Latin America, Asia, anywhere else, like, you're the guest. So you can't be like, hey man, like you should know what I mean. It's like, no, you're in a different continent.
Yeah.
And when I'm with Americans or Canadians, there's this clear understanding
right.
of what I'm saying. And if he or she misunderstands me, it's on them, because it's like, well, this is the rules of the game. Versus in Asia, Japan, China, it's on me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because it's like, I'm the one playing their game. So that I miss, like 100% knowing the rules.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I understand. And is there anything that you still don't get used to?
I think a lot of expats, I talk to a lot of people that live abroad with my YouTube channel. Like, I think I like 2 or 3 times a week, people will pay to talk to me. And
oh, nice.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't hurt. But I think a lot of the problems that expats have in the world when they move abroad is that they don't want to accept that they're in a foreign country and that they're like a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that I mean, that's taken me a while to sort of like accept to some extent. And I'm not talking just about China or Asia, like anywhere in the world. Like if I immigrate to Germany, right?
So you just mean that the people that you meet who are also expats, they're just like complaining a lot about the place?
Not necessarily complaining, but like emotionally accepting that a place is a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a very deep, deep level. I think there are things that you cannot change about a place. Like I've worked with a few Germans in my life, and I found like especially German engineers are very like, like not very flexible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
like me.
If I move to you know, it's like I know better than you. But if I move to like Berlin or something, and I was working in BMW or something, let's say, right?
Well, I picked the wrong city for BMW, but okay.
I have no idea about Germany.
I just but, like, heard they don't. I knew this by the sentence.
But if you went to Germany and you got frustrated that the people were so like precise,
yeah, right, things, mm-hmm.
and you got frustrated because of it, you know, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, why are Germans like this? It's like Germans are like that because that's how Germans are. That's
right.
That's
okay.
Who they've been for hundreds of years. And I think the moment you understand that, one, you're not going to change like Germany in this case.
Uh-huh.
Like they will never change. They can only change internally, like if Germany themselves have some kind of like cultural thing. But I think the moment you begin to accept that, and it's not your job to change the country.
Yeah, and of course not. No, but you're there to learn about the other culture and to
or be a guest. Sometimes there's not much to learn.
Yeah,
be a guest. Okay. But be a guest and be respectful. I think that's uh-huh. important.
What would that be in China? The the strictness you just mentioned in Germany.
I think for me in China is how like business in China is very relationship based. Like relationships are super important here. Where like there are times like Chinese people, let's say if you offer, you know, product A versus product B,
mm-hmm.
But product B is like better price, better everything.
Right.
But product A, they have better, like they know them more. You know, there's like right. a more mm-hmm. relationship.
So, mm-hmm.
They will always go for like option A.
I see.
Like if their uncle knows somebody, like
get it.
This part is like super important. And that sometimes I struggle with because in North America, like it's all about value. Like who brings mm-hmm. the most value? And relationships generally don't have that much value in North America because there's a whole thing why. So sometimes that I struggle with because I'm like, come on, guys. Like, you know, this is good. And they're like, but we don't know you, Ron. It's like, fuck.
Right. But is it also like then a matter of trust? Because they just know them and whatever for the other product, it's they don't know what to get into with.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. It's 100% about trust. So there is logic behind it. It's not random, let's say.
Like, yeah.
There's real logic behind it. There's historical stuff for it. And it's all, like, Japan is the same. Japan is very, like, relationship-based, too, in my opinion.
Okay.
Although I'm not as familiar with Japan, but it feels that way sometimes.
So what was the biggest change for you when you first moved? Do you remember? Or the difference in the beginning for you?
I would say it's kind of obvious, but at the same time, it cannot be appreciated until you kind of go through it. But it would be like the language, I would say, actually, mm-hmm. because Chinese is a non-phonetic writing system, meaning with German, you can learn the alphabet.
Yeah, exactly.
You can learn to read it. But with Chinese, if you don't know the character, you don't even know how it sounds.
Right.
And that makes learning how to read quite, not difficult, but, you actually have to put work into it. Because it's not a matter, with some languages, you just walk around the city and you learn new words as you walk by. You're like, pharmacy. They sell drugs. Sure. But in these non-phonetical writing systems, if you don't know the character, you can't even say it back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't even read it. So it's I feel like Chinese is like two languages in one, where you have the writing language, the reading and written language, and then you have the spoken language. And sometimes not being able to read, and I don't mean understand what you're reading, but just not being able to read.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Russia sometimes because of my wife,
mm-hmm.
and I speak zero Russian.
But you also cannot read. Words. Can you read it there?
But you can sound it out, you know? My friend can be like, hey, let's meet at station, clack, 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 something. And at the very least, when you go to the station, you can be like, clack, 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 and you find it, you know?
Huh, but I could not read it either. I mean, unless... different. But they have different letters too.
Yeah, but you can learn to read it quickly.
Okay, because they only have, 26, I don't know, 26 letters as well. Chinese, 1,000. Yeah.
I wish it was, if it was 1,000, I'd be fluent in Chinese.
Okay, got it.
I know more than 1,000 characters. But that's a tricky part. And I know it's kind of weird to say it because it's like when you just, you can't see letters, you know what I mean? If you don't know them.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's a difficulty to it. But it's not the same as not understanding the language. It's like a whole different game.
It's like you're learning that as well on top of that. Right? Yeah. And how did you then in the beginning, if you didn't speak or didn't read, how did you get an apartment? How did you get everything sorted out?
This is actually one of my favorite things about China. And perhaps the reason I decided to stay in China back in 20-something when I first came on a trip is that China is incredibly, even back then, it's incredibly technologically developed.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is digital here. Even 5, 10, 7 years ago, everything was digital.
Mm-hmm.
Payments, and the applications here, in America, you have DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Right, okay.
In China, we have those apps, but they're on steroid. They're you can order anything your heart desires. It's difficult to explain.
But you also have the options because you're such in a big place, right?
Yeah, exactly. And everything is, but also the apps themselves are quite developed. Your husband, he's a software developer?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
But anyways, everything here is made really easy to use. And Chinese apps are almost playing video games,
mm-hmm.
where as long as you're kind of technologically, you like tech, using one of these apps is it's just a game. You just get used to buying
And then the apps are all in all the languages as well?
No, they're only in Chinese.
Oh, okay.
But honestly, they're the UI people, the people who do the design of the apps,
mm-hmm.
are incredibly talented because you don't need to read Chinese to use a lot of these apps. Okay. I mean, I understand them now, but they're everything is well designed for you to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is digital, meaning to rent an apartment, you sign the contract through the app. And you can do anything. Like you can order air conditioners to be installed at your house through an app. And the guy comes at like 4 p.m. knock, knock. I'm here for the AC.
And did you also just like look at apartments on the apps?
Yeah.
And then just like, here, this is what I'm searching for. This is what I want. And the landlord doesn't care as long as you pay the rent.
I mean, maybe you should, that's always about, you should always see a place in real life. I'm sure you could, but I wouldn't recommend it.
I mean, I know people who bought a house without seeing it, so it's okay.
Yeah, true. That is doable. No, but I mean, I guess you could rent it without seeing it, but I wouldn't do that. You know, everywhere in the world, people are good at taking photos. So it's always good to go see
it. Yeah.
But no, you like truly like we have a cleaning lady that comes to our house every week, and we just got her through an app. Like we never talked to her, and it was like an app. It was like it's so nice.
But have you met her eventually, or?
Yeah, no, of course. Oh yeah. Although nowadays I just give her the password to my house and.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would say China is pretty safe when it comes to that stuff.
Okay.
I don't think she'll steal anything from me. Like petty crime is quite incredibly low in the cities. Yeah. Like I have no concerns over that kind of thing. It's kind of nice.
That is nice. But I also don't think that's like if you think of going as a tourist to anywhere in Asia, like crime is not really on your radar. Not as much as if you go to South or Central America. Then it's like, just like pay attention for all your belongings.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, for sure. Asia is very like Thailand, even Cambodia, which people consider to be dangerous. I mean, it's like when you compare it to like Colombia, Mexico, Honduras, it's like a walled park.
Okay.
I don't know what danger is.
Okay. Yeah. And are there like any repeating questions that you get from the local people about your because you are from somewhere else?
Yeah, just where I'm from, if I like China, sometimes how much money I make.
Oh really?
it's a very common question. They're like, oh, how much money do you make?
But that's interesting for me. That's a private question, you know. It's like nobody's business.
I think it's culturally acceptable though. If I'm married, I remember when I was single, like sometimes, they were just joking around, but they'd be like, oh, you should marry my daughter. Yeah. That was quite funny.
And did you guys get married in China, you and your wife?
No, we actually got married in Russia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm always like, I'm a very Western guy, but I do all these, you know. In this,
like, Russia and China. It's like, what's next? North Korea.
Yeah, actually, I did visit North Korea once.
Oh, you did?
For like a week. Yeah.
Oh, I did not. I thought it's really hard to get a visa for it.
You have to do, I mean, I think now after COVID, it's been closed off to tourism. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure. But I went to North Korea back in 2016, maybe. And back then, I paid like $1,000 and you do like a guided tour.
Okay.
And it's very guided tour. Like you're not walking around.
Oh, so it's like $1,000 for like the whole week. It's not just $1,000 entrance fee and then.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
But there's no backpacking in North Korea. It's like you go with a guide.
Yeah.
From the government. They take you to see here's the people's hotels. Here's the people's this. Here's the people's this.
So it's they make you what they want you to see.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's North Korea.
Yeah.
But I was happy to be there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I do want to mention, like, because I am very much a Western guy, and it's not been on purpose, but I have traveled to basically the Western media considers to be, like, the axis of evil, let's say.
exactly.
I really have. I've traveled to Iran. I've gone to Venezuela. North Korea, Russia, China. I think that's Turkey, I guess. A bit on the side. A little bit. Who knows? Soon, maybe soon. We'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I think the reason I got obsessed with these countries is because I think when you go there, you realize, like, a lot of what you read is, like, politics. and mm-hmm. like the very rich people in the world, like trillionaires and billionaires who rule everything. But if you go to like China, Russia, Iran, the people you meet, they're just like, I always tell people, like, anywhere you go in the world, people hate going to work on Mondays. I promise you. Like, that's the commonality of the human species. We don't want to go to work on Monday. We're excited for Fridays. We want to hang out with our families. And you sort of realize, like, one, we're all quite similar. Two, the global middle class actually has the exact same problems everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what you read on the news is just people trying to, like, in my opinion, the news is just trying to get you to, like, for example, in America today, people are like, don't buy stuff from China. But it's all like, it's just like to get you to buy things from another country. It's always about getting you to buy something.
No, but I think you had a good point. Like a country is always just put in a bad way for politics, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like never for the people. The people are... Yeah. I mean, like, wherever, I never had, like, a podcast guest or, like, never had a friend who said, who visited a country and the people were not nice. Actually, yeah. That's not true, but...
Yeah, there's some
but in, yeah, but like, in general, in most of the times, it's always, like, the people are so kind, the people are so friendly.
Yeah.
It's never, like, oh, yeah, they are, like, the news are reporting on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, I think I mentioned at the beginning that I came to China not knowing anything about China. I was quite scared of China too, as you are reading the mm-hmm. news. And I think the moment that sort of like shifted, I mean, many things, but like that one moment, like that I was like, oh fuck, like these are just normal people. They're not like, I was in Western China. Like Western China, by the way, is sort of like the other side of the Himalayas. The Chinese side. So it's like beautiful mountains. It's like the Tibet Plateau and everything. And at the time, I couldn't even count to 10 in Chinese. Like I couldn't count. And I'm in this bus. Like I'm like 20s, like mid 20s guy, like long hair. I had long hair back then. And I just look like a dirty backpacker, to be honest. Uh-huh. And I'm like sitting in this bus, like nobody spoke English. I'm in like northern Western China too. Like there's no foreigners, no expats, nothing. It's me and like a billion Chinese people. And this old man comes up to me and he's like, blah, 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 in Chinese, right? At the time I speak no Chinese mm-hmm. whatsoever. So I'm just like, ta, 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 ta. I'm like, I'm just like, I don't know. I can't even say I don't speak Chinese because I've been in China for like 3 weeks traveling.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like,
I don't know.
You know, you're trying to do your best by telling the guy, like, I don't know what you're saying right now. And I mean, I can tell he's being nice to me. I just don't know what he's saying. And at some point, he takes out an egg out of his bag.
Oh.
And he's like, eat this. Like, I think he was like, eat this egg.
I was like, oh, you offered you some food.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on? So I had this egg from this guy. And same thing, I had like on that same trip. Again, to me, before I came to China, it was this was like, China is very taboo in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, one time, same trip, like, I could barely speak Chinese, nothing. I'm at the train station, just waiting for my train, and this old Chinese guy, like, old, like, I don't know, 100, who knows, very old.
Yeah, 100 years old.
He sees me, wait, I'm just sitting on the floor, again, dirty backpacker, same trip, and he comes to me, and he's like, again, like, something in Chinese, and again, zero Chinese, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. He takes out a bottle of, like, Chinese liquor, it's called Baijiu.
Uh-huh.
It's like sake or soju. He takes it out and I don't think you're allowed to drink. He just gives me like a baijiu at the train station.
Just oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's nice. People sharing and people want you not to be hungry. So.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You also just had like, you actually repeated it many times that you are a very Western guy. Would there be a place in Europe or like a place in the West where you would move to?
I haven't thought. I bought some apartments in like Europe, but I don't know if I would move there kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I get to stay in China or Asia for
longer
years to come.
Yeah.
So I'll cross that bridge when it needs to be crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm still in my 30s. I still got 20 years of doing stuff.
You know, or maybe longer.
Yeah. Hopefully.
All right. I guess I got all my questions. Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
Sure. Thanks for your time.
That was Ron. Sorry for the bad audio on my part. I hope that you stayed anyway. But if you want to hear more about Ron, you should check out his YouTube channel, which is called Nearshore Living. And there he talks about all kinds of stuff, expat, and also more about China. And definitely subscribe. And also subscribe to this one, Worlds Collide, on YouTube as well. Or like wherever you listen to the podcast, don't forget to push the follow button. But I will make sure that you will find the link to Nearshore Living in the show notes, so it's easier for you to find. Yeah, and that was it for this week. And I hope you will tune in again next week for another episode of Worlds Collide. Until then, bye!